My name's Anissa, and I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic addict. I came to Austin Recovery actually 2 years ago, a week ago, September 24th in 2017. So, I was in the family house. My daughter, she's four now. She was with me. She was two. She came with me. We did the 90-day program. I was court-ordered, actually, to come here because it was either TDC or rehab. So I chose rehab. I'll start from the beginning, and then I'll go back into my life, but I didn't want to come here. I was pissed. I was not having it. I remember sitting with Chris on step one when he was talking to me about step one in the class, and I was like, I don't think I'm an addict. Like, this, I just messed up. Like, I'll get over it. I remember asking him, why 4 years from now I can't just pick up a glass of wine and drink? Like, what's the big deal? And he was like, that's insane to even think we plan that. Like, you're planning when the next time you're going to drink. Like, you know, non-alcoholics don't plan when they're going to drink next. And I was like, wait, maybe I should, like, take a look back into my life and look at the insane things that I'd done, which was the reason I landed here. June 17th of 2017, I'm from the Valley, so I went to South Padre. And I actually went to Mexico, and then I went to South Padre. So I got drunk in Mexico. I went with my friend to South Padre, but I had my daughter in the backseat the whole time. I had her child in the backseat, too. What I did was normal in my head. I do that all the time. Like, what's the big deal? But it was insane. I was leaving the beach, and a cop pulled me over, and I was heavily intoxicated. I got out. I did the field sobriety. I didn't argue. I knew what it was going to be. What blew my mind was I blew a .20, and I had my child, and I had my friend's child and her in the backseat of my car. My tolerance was high because I didn't feel that. I was like, I'm fine. Like, I don't understand. Like, I even, like, tried to tell the cop in the room when I was blowing, that's wrong, that's not right, like, there's no way, like, that your machine is, like, incorrect. I even argued with him about, why are you taking your body cam off? You don't want to record me because you're messing with the machine. Like, I went nuts because I was like, there's no way I blew a .20. Like, I feel fine. Like, I should be falling over right now. And I wasn't because I had built my tolerance. I had been drinking so long that, like, I didn't even feel, like that intoxicated to me. But so now I'm a little nervous, but I've shared my story before, but I've never done it like this. So my story actually starts when I was seven. My parents got divorced, and it broke my heart. I blamed it on me. I didn't understand. I was like, I was super close to my dad. I was going to lose my parents. Like, they were going to be separated. I went through therapy for like 6-7 years. I don't get it. I don't get it. So I learned about, to me, when I think about it, learning how to, like, not learn, but what felt what it was to be abandoned. My dad just kind of like went on with his life and got a new family and left me to be raised by my mom with my brother. So that hurt me a lot because my dad was my world. I was so close to my dad, and it broke my heart that, like, I wasn't going to have my dad like that anymore. And my mom, who is my number one supporter, I would be so lost without my mom. Like, real quick, my mom came and visited me every other weekend at Austin Recovery. She would drive 5 hours here on Saturday. She would drive 5 hours back on Sunday because my mom wanted me to get it. She supported me to the fullest, and I don't know what I would do without her. But so pretty much moving forward, I was the normal, I played sports, I was involved in activities, I was super, you know, I lived a normal life. Like, you know, my mom gave me the world. I don't understand how I ended up June 17 picking up a felony DWI. Like, my mom raised me incredibly. So at 14, I started drinking, and that was when I first picked up marijuana. I started using marijuana and drinking alcohol, and it was actually at my mom's house. I threw a party, a volleyball, like, get-together party with my volleyball team while she was upstairs, but, like, I threw a party. Like, I invited people over. This is not a volleyball party. That's like, this was like, friends, let's come over. My mom was upstairs sleeping the entire time, and we got like lit downstairs. And so I was super involved in sports. I had this rule that you only drink on the weekends, you only party on the weekends. You focus on your sports, you only drink after, because I was a wrestler, so I would do my tournaments on Saturday, and then after I would go, well, I won, I completed, like, I'm going to reward myself. I'm going to go get drunk, like, and I was 14, 15, I did that when I was 16. I got in trouble with my coaches at 16, somebody turned me in for, like, being at a party, and I got, like, suicides, but that's nothing, like, at that didn't teach me a lesson, like, whatever, like, I'll run, no big deal. But when I was 16, I went to a party with a couple of my friends, and I didn't drink that night. I remember I only had got, you know, I had just smoked weed because I was the driver, and I'm not going to drink. And my friend, we were driving home the next day, she calls me and tells me, hey, I think somebody raped me in the back seat, and I was like, of your car. And I was like, what? Like, what are you talking? Like, I was like, you're crazy, dude. Like, I'm like driving, and how does that even happen behind me? The thing is, like, I was so high that, like, I didn't even, like, I guess pay attention to what was going on behind me. But I was being investigated for being accomplice to, like, hiding a rape when I was 16 years old. And I was, like, I was just being a normal friend driving us home because I was the chauffeur to this party. Like, I can't believe this. Like, they ended up dropping it all because they found out that, you know, she wasn't raped. She's just, you know, making these accusations up. But to me, it was, like, that's, like, a... You know, if you weren't under the influence or you didn't put yourself in these situations, you wouldn't, like, I could have gotten in a lot of trouble, like, being an accomplice to, like, protecting somebody who was raped, which I obviously didn't know. But then we moved forward, and I was still using, I was still drinking, I was amazing in my sports, you know, I played varsity, like, nobody knew. I lived this completely, like, double life. Like, people knew, but it was, like, I was good in school, I had straight A's, I was, like, you know, I fooled my mom. My mom's a drug and alcohol counselor, and here I am using, like, in her house, like, in the basement, doing whatever I want to do. I snuck out all the time. I broke all the rules, but, like, in the most sneaky, like, way possible. I was grounded for 4 years because she always caught me. But I was like, I'm going to get out, ground me, but I'll be out, like, when she's asleep, but whatever, like, I'm gone. So I did graduate high school. Everything was great. I got my, you know, my diploma. What happened is my mom moved to Texas. I stayed in Kansas. I'm from Kansas, actually. I was raised in Kansas for 15 years. And my mom moved here because my family's here in Texas. And I stayed in Kansas for a year to try and build this relationship with my dad that I didn't have a relationship with. I lived with him for a year, and it was, like, literally the ugly duckling. Just more hurt, more, like, why? Like, what did I do wrong, Dad, that you can't, you know, be in my life? I don't understand. Like, we live together, and we still don't even have a relationship. So a lot of hurt. I went through a lot of hurt in my life. I hit it well with sports was my passion. So I would drink and use, but, like, I really put it all out in my sports because I do have an addict brain with different things. Like, even now, I'm obsessed with working out. So, like, I have an addict brain. But my thing is, at least I've turned it around to healthier things, and I'm not completely, like, destroying my life, because that's what I was heading down that path. So I moved to Texas when I was 18, and I got into school. I'm going to study to be a teacher, and I got into school, studied to be a teacher, but in Texas, in the Valley, drugs were easier to get. I couldn't believe how easy it was for me to go, like, pick up, like, drugs and alcohol underage. Like, it was the easiest thing. So I got introduced to cocaine by my own uncle. All my uncles actually they're active in their addiction, every single one of them right now. I have six of them, and one of them actually did pass away He passed away from cancer, but had he not been so heavy in his addiction, he could have saved his life. So he did pass away a year ago. So, and then, of course, my uncles now do still actively use, and I would use with them. I would do cocaine with them. I would smoke weed. I would bring it over. Like, I was, like, the supplier for it. Like, this is so wrong. I'm your niece. You're my uncle. Like, we shouldn't be doing these things together. It's inappropriate. I would even try and hide it from my mom and grandma because my grandma's not, you know, they're just alike. I would, like, at parties, I would wait till they leave, and then I would use. All through my addiction, I tried to have these, like, rules, these morals. Okay, only drink on this day or only drink on that day. Like, that's insane. Like, so when I turned 20, I was like, I'm fed up with my mom. I started to lose a relationship with my mom, and I moved to San Antonio, and that's when my addiction took off. I got involved in a very abusive relationship. He thought he could lay his hands on me on multiple occasions, and in that situation, the hurt kept happening. The hurt kept happening. Like, it just never stopped. I have been betrayed by so many people in my life, especially men that, like, to this day, I even still, that's one thing I work on in my recovery is just trusting people, because I have been backstabbed by, like, people that, like, you were supposed to be there for me. Like, how could you do this to me? But I moved to San Antonio. I lasted 7 months there. My apartment got broken into. I became broke. I ended up in an abusive relationship. I got beat up. Like, it was bad. I came back home. I moved back to my mom's. I was still using cocaine, alcohol, weed, Xanax here and there. Wasn't really my choice, but if it was there, I would use it. So I come back to the Valley, and I'm pretty hurt. I'm pretty, like, I feel like a failure because I dropped out of Texas A&M. I was enrolled in UTSA, and I dropped out. Like, I left all my failed classes there. I didn't finish school, nothing at all there, which is why it's taken me 8 years to finish college. But I will be graduating in December with my bachelor's degree. I'm actually also testing for my master's. That's how far I'm going to go. So I have turned my life around a lot. I came back, and that's when one thing I worked a lot on here in Austin Recovery is I'm very, very codependent. I am a people pleaser. I just want people, if I got to give you $20 for you to be my friend, like, here's $20. Like, whatever it takes, like, I will please you to the end. Like, so that was one of my big character defects that my counselor worked with me a lot. Because she was like, even with, she told me, you got to, like, step away from your mom. You're so, like, dependent on her. Like, mom, 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 mom. Like, always calling her. But, like, you got to set these boundaries. I didn't learn about boundaries until I got here. I was like, what are boundaries? Like, I don't understand. But now, like, if I don't like it, I don't like it. Like, this is how I feel. And I can feel this way. Because for a while, I would always feel guilty. Like, why can't I, like, oh, I can't be unhappy, so let me go use. And I remember saying it, so I'll start back. My daughter's dad is what really took a toll on my life and where I just lost my entire self. I got pregnant with, when I was 21 in 2014. People are going to hear this and be like, what the hell? I got pregnant by a married man who pretty much hid his wife from me. He lived a double life. And I'd be honest, I knew. I absolutely did not. I don't care that I didn't know at this point because my daughter is what saved my life. Like, by the grace of God, God knew that I needed her. Like, I'm going to give you this child. It's not going to be the best situation the way she comes into this world, but you need her. And so you can only imagine wife finds out she's pregnant. I'm like, you're pregnant with my husband. What the hell? She went nuts. She pretty much, her and my daughter's dad bullied me the entire 9 months of my pregnancy. I didn't use during my pregnancy. I definitely stopped using, but I was miserable. I did not enjoy my pregnancy. I was, you're talking like from one day to the next, you're pregnant. You can no longer use, nothing. So I like white knuckled it. I didn't do any program. I just kind of lived miserable. I turned to food. I ate, and even my doctor was like, you're gaining way too much weight for this pregnancy, and I was like, I don't care. I'm using something else to cope with all the hurt and pain that my daughter's dad is putting me through. So I stayed clean for 10 months. I had her, and then I relapsed back in October after I had her. She was born in August. 2 months later, I was back out there. And I remember sitting there when I first took my first drink, and I picked up the joint, and I was like, man, if this is what it takes for me to not feel any pain for my daughter's dad again, I will continue to do this for the rest of my life. Because he destroyed a piece of me that, like, I will never get back. Like, he just took me to the lowest place that, like, I felt like I was worth nothing. Like, I didn't even know how I was going to do it on my own. I was like, I can't be a single mom. Like, I can't do this. I'm lost. Like, so I jumped back into my addiction, but this time 10 times harder. I was drinking every day, drinking by myself. Like, I used to not drink by myself. Now I would go to the bars by myself. Like, I didn't want people to know that I had a problem. And there's friends today that don't understand, like, what do you mean you're a recovering alcoholic addict? Like, what do you mean, Anissa? You didn't have that big of a problem. I hid it. I didn't want you guys to know. Like, I was embarrassed, like, that I was using alcohol to numb the pain that my child's dad had put me through. So I wouldn't drink with you guys. I wouldn't use. I started buying my own cocaine. I only used it if someone had it. Then I was getting it by myself, like, 20s. I was a bartender, so I was, like, coming in with cash. I had lots of money, and to this day, I even sit there and think, I'm like, dang, I had all this money, and I don't even know where it's at today. Like, I have no clue, like, where some of it went. So pretty much, October went by. I picked up the alcohol, the drugs, all of that again, and on May 13th, Friday the 13th of 2016, I picked up my first charge, which was possession of controlled substance. I had actually just finished my finals, and I was like, I deserve to celebrate. I've been through so much shit. Like, no one's gonna take this from me. Like, I'm getting back in my groove, because my groove was using, like, this is normal for me to drink and all that. Like, I'm getting back into life. And I obviously, like, the way that night took place is we got stopped. I let somebody else drive my vehicle because I was way too drunk to drive, and he threw cocaine in the back, and I leaned over. I was like, let me get that. And instead of just toss, this is crazy. There was a bridge right there, and I think about it, like, things happen for a reason, because if I had tossed that cocaine, I would still be using today. Instead, I took the cocaine and I stuck it in my bra and was like, oh, when they took me to the jail, they asked me if I had anything on me. I was like, yeah, I have cocaine. And the cops even, like, what? Like, I don't understand. Like, I was like, yeah, I hit it on me. And I had, even the people I were with were like, Anissa, like, you were literally, I was sitting on the bridge. I had it in my hand, and I could have just, I went like that instead. I was like, okay. I was like, so I picked up my first, that was my first felony. I had never been in, like, serious trouble, no misdemeanors like that. I just went full force, felony, like, all the way. And I still continued to use, even though I was pending that charge. And then in October, they put me into that, I don't know if some of you guys know, but drug court. And I actually got kicked out of drug court. Well, I dismissed myself. I was like, pretty much, I was like, I don't want to be in here. My drug court, because I've looked into Austin's drug court way better than what my drug court was in the Valley. My drug court truly didn't believe in, like, the people have problems with drugs and alcohol. They believed in locking you up. Every time you come up with a dirty drug test, throw them in jail. Throw them in jail. And I'm like, that's not, like, that's just making it worse, because you come out and you're pissed and I want to use. Like, this is stupid. Like, throw me in jail every time I come out. Give me, like, classes or send me to rehab. Like, I didn't get sent to rehab by drug court because I kicked myself out. I got sent to rehab by my original felony judge. He believed in me. He gave me a second chance because he told me, like, technically, you picked up another charge. The reason I got kicked out of drug court is picking up that DWI. You picked up another felony while on felony probation. I should send you to TDC right now for 2 years. Like, that's insane. And I didn't want to, they have, like, a substance abuse program, SATF. They kind of have it here in Austin. He wanted to send me there, but I was like, I'm not going to leave my child behind. Like, you guys are crazy. Like, No, I'm not doing your, you know what, take me out of this stupid program, like, I'm done. And he was like, well, I remember the judge telling me, you're going to be a convicted felon anyways, I don't need you in this court. And I was like, can someone get me out of here before I, like, lose my shit on this judge right now? Because I was like, he's calling me a convicted felon. And today, and when I think about him, and I see his little vote for me, or this or that, like, I'm like, I got my certificate, and I earned mine. Because they give you a certificate in drug court, and he says, you earn it in here. And I'm like, no, what I earned was the 90 days in here. This place changed my life. When it says where the healing begins, this is not where it began. This is where I healed. This place, literally, if you work the program and you do the things they offer you and you hear them out and you go to the meeting, I went to so many of Chris's 12-step meetings that, like, I have notes on top of notes in my, like, notes, like, with different pens. I'm like, oh, I didn't get it this time. Let me write that. I didn't get that time. Like, let me write that. I worked this program so hard that I didn't relapse this time. I had a lot to lose. If I didn't figure it out in this 90 days, and the judge told me, if you don't finish rehab, I'm locking you up, you're going to TDC 2 years, and then after that, I have to deal with my DWI, like, I'm not done with that. That's just one charge. So what happened is I did the drug court. I went to all the classes. I was actually, like, their star drug court person. I never missed a class. Like, I was there. I even changed my work schedule for them. I always paid my fees. Like, I did everything I was supposed to because I had the right mindset, but that's where, like, that addiction really can take over you. And I was clean for 3 months. I got put in drug court on October. I was clean for 3 months. I was scared. I was like, I can't fail. And then I was like, I can manipulate my way through this program. I started using again. I didn't use weed. I picked up cocaine, but 10 times harder because I manipulated the system. I was like, I need to use, and I know how to do this. So I would count. I have 3 days to use, 3 days not to use, 3 days to use, three, because I need to pass a drug test, because I would take weekly drug tests. So I would, Wednesday would be my drug test, and Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I would drink. And then I would be clean Monday, Tuesday, and I'd passed all my drug tests. My probation officer had no idea. Like, when she found out that I got another charge, she was so confused. And in my head, I was like, I've been drinking for like 7 months. Like, this is not new. This behavior had been going on for a while. You just never caught me. I played that. Like, I was a mastermind. I called myself before, I was a mastermind manipulator. I'm doing great. Everything's great. I'm working hard. You have no idea what I'm about to do tonight, though, when I leave this building. Like, that's how insane that was. Like, I was, like, testing the limits. And so I got caught. Everybody gets caught. I strongly believe in that. Everybody definitely gets caught. I'm 2 months shy of getting released from drug court. There that DWI comes in, and I was like, oh, here we go. When I remember seeing those blue lights, and I was like, man, my life's over. I didn't even know what to say. I was so, like, lost. Like, I couldn't even speak to the cop when he first stopped me. But what really made me change is when I looked over and I watched my 2-year-old crying while I'm getting handcuffed and put in the vehicle. As small as it looks, that was the worst feeling in the world. Like, I'm letting... She only has me. She doesn't have her dad, and I'm letting this little girl looks up to me. She worships me. I'm her best friend, and here I am getting arrested, thrown in a cop car because I almost killed my kid. People around me hurt my friend and her child. I could have taken all of our lives that day. That's how under the influence I was. Thank God I didn't. By the grace of God, I don't know. That, and the crazy thing is, the insane thing about addiction is that was not the first time I've drove drunk. I've drove drunk a million times. So that's why, to me, I was like, this is normal. Like, why am I getting caught? But I needed to get caught because I needed to come here. If I didn't get caught, I wouldn't have came to Austin Recovery. So here I am now. It's June 17th. I go to court, and in August, and the judge, they got my court fast, like in a month. They were not playing games because they couldn't believe that, like, felony, picking up another felony. He said, I give you 4 days, and you need to find yourself a rehab. And I ran into somebody at an NA meeting who said, I know a mom and child rehab in Austin. Like, we got to get you in. I called up here. They gave me a date. They said, we'll accept her. Because I was here on the scholarship, I didn't pay for it. So they took me in. They said she can come this day. As long as I presented a date to the judge, she said, then that's fine. She can go. But I was, like I said, I was pissed. I was like, this is stupid. It was funny. Tara, because I was talking to her outside, when I first got to Austin Recovery, so I do makeup. I do, like, tutorials, because that's what turned my life around. I had to find my passion, my hobbies, what I love to do. Like, where did the old Anissa go? The one who liked to work out, the one who was like loved makeup. So I came in with this like box of makeup, and Tara was like, "Oh no, you don't need that." And I was like, "You don't understand. This is like my life. Like, I need this entire box of makeup. Like, this is what saved me. This is the only reason I stayed sober after I got caught on June 17th. Like, this box of makeup, like, because I had so much passion. Like, I found something that I love to do again. And I was slowly finding myself, but I was still mad. I was like, I'm going to drink. Like, once I'm done with this, once I'm done with the DWI probation, I'm going back out there. Like, I don't have a problem. I just want to do cocaine. I just want to smoke. Like, no big deal. That's how I saw it. That's why I strongly believe, like, me working this program made me realize, like, you do have a huge problem, dude. Like, you're 2 felonies in 1 year. That's insane. Like, and somehow I stayed out of prison. I don't know how, but pretty much. And here, what really got me is, I don't know if you guys have experienced, but Musical Journey with Maurice. So I'm a huge, like, believer in that. I loved Musical Journey so much that I would beg for her to let me go. I would beg for her to meet with me, because Maurice, that's one person I have to really thank, helped me save my life. She made me realize so many things that, like, she actually gave me the closure with that I never got from my daughter's dad. She sat there, she looked me in the eye and said, "He's married, he has a family, you have so much going for you, Anissa. You're going to do great. You will be fine without him." And literally, it snapped. I was like, you know what? I don't need that. I don't need to let that toxicity back in my life. I'm going to go forward. All right, I got it. So if you, I believe to, like, do these programs in here, because that Musical Journey, I even have the portraits that you draw up on my wall to this day, because those tell a story for me. They saved me. This place completely saved me, which is why I'm 2 years sober today. So let's see. I worked the program. I did everything. You know, I had my moments in here. I try and be respectful with everyone. I did cuss people out. I did tell people off. But one thing that changed for me is I would do it, and someone would be like, "You need to go make an amends right now. Like, go walk over there and tell her you're sorry for calling her a bitch." So I would take myself over, and I would do it. And that was hard for me, because me, I'm like, she's being ridiculous. But I learned what it was to make an amends in here. That was my hardest step for me. When Chris had us write them out, I was like, damn, I have done some wrongful things in my life. Like, I could apologize for the rest of my life. I could apologize to my mom for the rest of my life. I have put her through hell. And I put work, jobs, like, people, even though people have done me wrong, I still had treated people like shit, like, because I was really selfish. The world revolved around me. Like, you're not going to tell me what to do. So I had a lot of amends to make, and that was probably the hardest step for me to do, was that amends, because it was like, dang. I even went all the way back to my bartending job, and I apologized to them. As much as they treated me like bad, I worked with my sponsor, Kathy, and she was like, "You just need to go say sorry for your doing." And that's the thing about amends, is like, even if you feel like they've done you wrong, you, like, still, I went back and I apologized for all the times that I, you know, cussed them out. I would cuss my managers out. I talked shit to them. I would show up late. I didn't care. And finally, after 3 years and I got put in jail, they did fire me. But I was like, okay, whatever. I think it's my time to go anyways, because I have a bad drinking problem. And being in this bar is just not for me anyways. So, I would say, if anything, out of the 12 steps, that was the hardest for me. The one I love the most is just getting my story out there. So with my tutorials and my makeup stuff, I share my story with people. I'm very, very open about my recovery. I tell everybody about it. If they ask, I'm like, yeah, I'm sober. Yeah, I did this. Yeah, it's insane, but it makes me who I am today. Like, don't ever be ashamed of your recovery. Like, I, like, walk, that's what, I would not be the person I am today without recovery, like, you know, learning how to get clean. I would not be standing here today. Absolutely. Honestly, I was on that road to death, because driving and drinking was probably one of my favorite things to do. Nobody's going to drive me home. Like, no. Like, I'm going to drive myself home. I trust only myself. Like, I don't trust, even though that's insane. So the only thing that really bothered me after I got out of rehab was, so I got out of rehab and I'm not done. I still have the DWI charge. I actually didn't finish that until June of this year. They finally convicted me. They didn't give me the felony. He told me, I'll give you the misdemeanor because you've worked hard to get where you are today, but I can't dismiss this charge. I was pissed. I was so mad. I was like, no, I have worked so hard to get where I am today. Like, you are going to dismiss that entire charge. Like I look where I am today. Like, what do you mean? Like, you're not going to take anything I've done today into consideration? Like, and so, but going from a felony, a misdemeanor, DWI is a big deal. I mean, that's job opportunities. Like, I'm trying to get better in my life and degree. Can't do much with a felony. It's hard. Like, people look at you. It's sad as much. It's because I still deal with it today. People see it, you, and they're just kind of like, well, you have a cocaine charge, and you have a DWI charge. I don't know. And it's kind of like, if you got to know who I was as a person, like, you would be mind-blown, like, how much I've turned my life around. Like, because, like my mom said, like, well, it's hard. Some people don't get it. I have friends that I was in here with that it breaks my heart that some of them didn't get it. Like, I think about them all the time, and I was like, man, I was so close to them in Austin Recovery. Like, I thought they were going to get it. Like, I would talk to them, and I would stay in contact with them, even three, you know, hours away. Like, and it's just sad that, like, that rate of how many people get it. But I believed in myself, and I knew there's hope. There's so much hope out there. Like, I can't even, I tell people all the time, there's so much hope. There's so much life out there. Like, If you want it, go for it. And I went for it. I was not going to let anybody stop me, take it from me. I was going to let no judge take it from me. Give me the misdemeanor, whatever. So he even also, next month I have to put a the device in my vehicle, actually, which is, I was like, y'all are 2 years late. Like, this was 2 years ago. Like, dang, I was like, you're wasting your time putting that damn thing in my car. Like, that should have been put in my car actually like 3 years ago. Like, whoa. I was like, I don't understand. Like, whatever, I guess. You guys want to make a buck, another buck. So be it. But I got sentenced to another 2 years probation. So I'm really not done. But since I'm living the right life, probation now for me is, it's a breeze. It's whatever. Because I'm walking the right life. Give me every drug test. You can drug test me every day. Like, I will pass that with flying colors. I don't have to sit there in my chair like, I hope I'm clean enough for this test. Like, did I wait long enough? Now I'm like, whatever. Like, let's go. But, so, another thing that I've also done that I've turned my life around with is in February, I decided to get weight loss surgery because I used to be really fit, into sports, worked out, but food is another huge addiction. When I have really bad anxiety and I will eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat, and I'm like, so I was like, I need to get healthy again. I need to get my life back. That was one last thing I wanted to get back, which was my life, like my like health. And working out for me was like, it releases, like you feel good. Like I even run races and I feel like, yes, like I just accomplished so much, whether it was 3 miles, I'm like, yeah. So I've lost one. This is huge for my recovery because I gained all my weight when my addiction took off. So I weighed 280 pounds in February, and now I've lost 100 pounds. So, yeah. So that, and that means a lot to me because, like I said, I gained all that during my pregnancy and during when I was using and drinking and doing whatever the hell I wanted to do. So to be like, this was like the last step to my, like, to getting myself back, and then obviously graduating in December. It feels good to say finally 8 years later I'll be walking across the stage with, whether it took me 8 years, with that degree, because I earned that. I went through, someone asked me, you should have a doctorate degree by now with the amount of time you've been in school, dude. Like, what the hell? And I was like, yeah, but I earned this. Like, I went, you know, it took jail, it took rehab, it took heartbreak, it took like getting beat up. Like, to earn this degree was not given, it was absolutely earned. Like, nobody can take this from me. And one thing, you know, I still struggle today. I still have that addict behavior where I'm like, not addict, just the thinking errors where, like, the easy frustrated sometimes, but like I always look back and I'm like, I think of how grateful I am to be where I am like today, because without getting clean, like, I mean, with the friends that I've seen that, you know, did relapse, I'm like, it's sad. It's so sad, because it's like, dang, that's how, it's an epidemic. Like, I see it, and I'm like, this is just, I wish they could get it. I wish they could get it like me. Like, but it took time. It did take time. I used for 10 years before I figured it out. I get told a lot, too, that, like, you figured it out at 24 years old, and I was like, yeah, because a lot of shit happened, like, when I was young. A lot of abandonment, a lot of abuse, a lot of this, like, happened that I had to get it. If I didn't get it, I would be in TDC right now. Like, so I would be sitting in up there in TDC doing time, because it was either that way or this way. Either you do the time or you get your life together. Like, literally, get your shit together, dude. Like, or life's over for you. So that's, I almost got the time. I'm only 5 minutes short. But yeah, that is my story. I am, like I said, I am now 2 years, 2 years and 4 months sober. I have not picked up anything. I've had at one time where I went through a tough situation. Her dad tried to come back into life, and I sat there in my car crying, and I remember, like, man, I could turn left right now to that gas station and get alcohol. Like, I can do it. And I sat there, and I cried at the light. I was like, I could just go left. Like, it's so easy to turn left. Like, but I didn't. I absolutely did not relapse. Because I think, like, I'm always like, no. Like, you could lose it all. You could lose it all. You could really lose it all right now if you do that. Like, so one thing I always remind myself today is, like, I don't give up. I do a lot of, like, self-affirmations. Even with my tutorials, I'm always, like, telling people, like, you can't give up. You got to keep going. Like, no matter what happens, like, you matter. We matter. And don't let anybody take that away from you. Like, you matter. Regardless what you've done in your life, you matter. And I'm really strong about, like, just if I can do it, you can do it. If I can, you can absolutely do it. And I've got a, like, teenager over there. My daughter's 4, but she acts like she's 13, and she rules this world. So she makes me want to pull my hair out. So, but I look at her and I'm like, if it wasn't, you know, for you, I mean, you saved my life. She saved my life. Like, she absolutely saved my life. That's why when I came to rehab, this is the best place, because it's like, they let you go into recovery with your kid. Look at your kid every day. I look at my child every day, and I'm doing it for you. I'm going to be successful. We're going to go places. Like, I tell her, we're going to go. Like, we're going to live life. Just wait. I'm going to give you the world. Like, and that's why this place is amazing, because they believe in, recovery with your child by your side. And a lot of people don't, like, a lot of people don't know about this place and can't believe, like, they let your kid come with you. Absolutely. So I'm so grateful for Austin Recovery, all the counselors, Chris, definitely, everyone that, like, pretty much was there for me and has been there for me and has continued to support me. I'm definitely, that's why I say I'm a grateful recovering alcohol addict. I'm so thankful to be alive today and not behind bars or dead. So thank you.